All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I am your host, Aaron Freeman, and today I am going position by position to talk about who and what I am going to be looking for in this Falcons-Jets preseason opening game.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman, been covering the Atlanta Falcons for over a decade at FalcFans.com. You can find me on Twitter at FalcFans. And, of course, I am the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast. So, today we're going to be talking about, we're going to be our official preview of this Falcons-Jets game. We've talked about this game at least twice in the last week on this podcast. So, if you've been listening to those episodes, you'll hear me sort of reiterate some of those things, but at the same time, I will be going a little bit deeper on certain things, and we'll go position by position, talk about each position group on this Falcons roster, and maybe the things that I'm most eager to see, most curious to see, which players I'm excited to see make their debuts, which position battles I'm locked on, and as well. So that's what we'll be talking about on today's show. So let's jump right into it. Let's talk about the quarterback position. I'll be curious to see who actually is the number three quarterback come tonight's game. The depth chart, the unofficial depth chart that the Falcons dropped on earlier this week, on Tuesday, I think it was, lists Binkert as the number three guy. We'll see if that plays out tonight. If so, whether it's him or Garrett Grayson, that guy should see a lot of reps tonight. Last year we saw Matt Sims, who was that number three guy to start this summer, I believe ahead of Alec Torgerson, if I'm not mistaken, who I think is now in Canada. But anyway, sorry, side tangent. I digress. But last year, Sims played pretty much the bulk of the second and third quarters, and maybe a little bit of the first and fourth quarters in that game. I don't expect to see a repeat of that, simply because I expect to see a little bit more reps for Matt Schaub. We'll touch upon a little bit later why I think that is. And then you'll probably see, presumably, just because you don't have a situation like you had with Sims and Torgerson, where one guy clearly has years and years of development in the scheme than the other guy. So you'll probably see a relatively even split between whether it's Binkert or Grayson, whoever that number three and number four guy is. We'll see, you know, but I expect both of at least the number three guy to get at least a full quarter of action. Whether that begins in the second quarter, whether that begins in the third quarter, we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, I think I've cooled a little bit on the Binkert hype since we did that podcast with Mark Schofield, host of Locked On Patriots, and you know, does a lot of good work at Inside the Pylon and various other websites across the internet. That week of the draft where we talked about the quarterbacks in this past year's draft class, and we mentioned Kurt Binkert sort of in passing in one of those episodes, and talked about, you know, at least at that time, I was pretty excited about him because I had watched his two best performances from last year, two of his three best performances from last year, and was really high on him. But the more I watched subsequent after that, after the Falcons picked him up, I sort of was like, oh, well, those were the two best games, and he never looked anywhere close to being that good in subsequent games that I watched. But I will be curious to see, maybe if, you know, since that hype has a little bit cooled a little bit, maybe if he can have an impressive debut tonight, then it'll be possible for me to climb back aboard that bandwagon. So we'll see how that plays out. Now, moving on to the running back position, you know, if you've been a regular listener of this podcast for like the last 6-7 weeks, we've talked quite a bit about hashtag Summer of Ito. It begins tonight. We'll see if he can sort of regain some of the attention after a relatively slow start to training camp due to that foot injury that first weekend. We'll see a good opportunity for some of these other guys as well, like Justin Crawford and Malik Williams and Terrence McGee. And maybe some of those guys may be able to steal a little bit of Ito's thunder a little bit tonight. And so maybe it's the summer of Justin, or the summer of Malik, or the summer of Terrence. So as I've said before, I think we should get a lot of reps, see a lot of snaps from all of those guys, all four of those guys tonight, since I think Freeman and Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman will probably be both in the single digits in terms of the amount of snaps they get. So it'll be a lot of opportunity, at least three, if not three and a half quarters of work for those other four running backs in sort of the competition. We sort of know that Ito should win the number three spot unless something crazy happens. But it will be an opportunity for some of those other guys to really sort of make a name for themselves and maybe sneak their way onto the roster. And if they can get off to a good start tonight, then that will be a good first step to that possibility. Moving on to the fullback position, obviously the Ricky Ortiz versus the Luke McNitt battle is going to be the most hotly contested battle in the history of the human race. You know, you had the Romans versus the Carthaginians. You had the Shia versus the Shiites, Israel versus the Palestinians, Britain versus France, Ricky Ortiz versus Luke McNitt. I'm sorry. I was going to see how long I could keep this going, but I started running out of stuff. But yeah, I think really honestly, obviously, I am eager to see sort of if either one of those guys sort of steps up and gets off to a good start this summer, both of them get off to a good start in that competition. But honestly, like, I'm more curious, you know, that goes without saying, but I'm also more curious about the logistics of how the Falcons handle this battle. It was one of those things we talked about in the preview series when we talked about this fullback position where it was going to be hard for the team to divvy up reps between three guys. They sort of cleared the air or, you know, made room with that with the release of Daniel Marks. But it's interesting because typically when you watch this team or most teams in the league, that when they have guys competing for starting spots, they have a tendency to have those guys alternate first team reps. Like you'll see like last year with Ben Garland versus Wes Schweitzer, you'll see like, okay, if Matt Ryan's going to play two series, he'll get a series with Ben Garland, he'll get a series with Wes Schweitzer. And you see that quite a bit with this team. And I wonder, like, is that also the plan going to be at the fullback position because those guys are competing? Or is it going to be, which is typically more common when there's a little bit more of a hierarchy between first and second team, one guy gets the majority of the reps with the first and second units in the first half, and the other guy gets the majority of, or all the reps in the second half with the third and fourth string offense. So I'll be curious. It's just my own inquisitive nature. You know, I am a roster nerd, so these sorts of things tend to be exciting to me while no one else in the world outside of the eight of you currently, like, you know, I was going to say something off color, that are also equally excited about that, sitting here listening to me talk about it. You know, the eight of us, the nine of us, I guess, including myself, they get excited about these things, but the rest of you guys don't care. So I get it. But that's honestly, I'm curious how they sort of handle the logistics of a competition. Those are the things that get me, you know, hot and bothered, I guess you could say. This podcast has gone off the rails. But we got more position battles to break down. But speaking of getting hot and bothered, let's talk about NordicTrack. Going to the gym can be quite a hassle. You got to get, you know, you work up this big sweat and you got to drive around or do whatever you got to do. But sometimes you just want to stay home, work up that sweat, get all hot and bothered, hop in the shower, all from the comfort of your own home. And now you can do that because NordicTrack, with their series of training equipment, can get you those amazing gym quality workouts in the convenience of your own home using their treadmills, exercise bikes, incline, and strength trainers. With NordicTrack, you can enjoy high energy streamed workouts any time of the day without stepping out your front door. Join those stream workouts in both studios and exotic locations from around the world, where you can start your day running through the streets of Paris and end it by cross training on the shores of Thailand. Workouts are led by some of the world's top personal trainers to ensure that you meet your fitness goals. There's a special offer for Locked On Falcons listeners to get $75 off your NordicTrack purchase by visiting nordictrack.com/lockedon and use the offer code Locked On. Again, visit NordicTrack.com/lockedon and use the offer code Locked On during checkout to save $75 off your purchase. So at the wide receiver position, I said this before in a previous episode, but we should see a lot of Calvin Ridley, a lot of Justin Hardy working with the second team. I expect Julio and Sanu to get a quick hook. No need for those guys to get too many extended reps. And so we should basically see Calvin Ridley probably take almost all the first half snaps. I mean, not all of them, but I mean like a vast majority of those first half snaps. And we'll see, maybe they can continue him into the second half. And that's the reason why I mentioned earlier why I think Schaub will probably get more reps than he normally does. Like last year, he got like a series and a half, like 10 plays in the first preseason game. But it wouldn't shock me at all if he gets even a quarter or a full quarter and a half once the Falcons put the hook on Matt Ryan early in the game, who I expect to probably get like a series, maybe two tops. And, you know, then Schaub will come in just so Calvin Ridley can put his best foot forward, because he'll have, you know, better quarterback play, presumably, than he would if he was going with Binkert or Grayson in that regard. So I'll be curious to see Ridley's debut. I'm also curious to see how guys like Russell Gage, Marvin Hall, Reggie Davis, and some of these other undrafted guys sort of perform when they get opportunities, probably most likely in the second half. So, you know, those are the things that I'm interested at that position. At the tight end position, we should see a lot of Eric Saubert tonight, who, you know, he might even play like the whole entire game, if we're being honest. So, you know, I'll be keeping an eye on his blocking. I'll be keeping an eye on what he does as a receiver. And, you know, I've talked about Saubert a bit in the last couple of weeks, and I don't want to sound like I'm down on Saubert by any means. I just sort of, it's fascinating to me, sort of the hype that has been building with him since, you know, around June, largely due to like a couple of highlight reel catches that have been posted on Twitter. And so I'm basically curious to see if he lives up to that hype. I'll be curious to also see if Alex Gray, who barely got any playing time last summer, and, you know, making that transition from a rugby player from England and really learning the NFL, or really learning the game of football, not just the NFL game, for the first time last year, and see if he gets extended reps, and see what, if any, improvement he makes this summer as compared to last year. Up front on the offensive line, it seems like a lot of people are sort of speculating that Sean Harlow's on the roster bubble, who I certainly was very hard on after his preseason debut last year, but I think he made serious strides over those three other preseason games. My expectation is that he'll pick up from where he left off, but I'll be curious to see if, you know, there is a legitimacy to the notion that he is on the roster bubble. I wouldn't sit here and say he's a lock, but I would be very, very surprised if the Falcons cut a former fourth round pick in his second year. Especially when you look at the alternatives that people are suggesting that could wind up taking his job, it would be weird. Even if Harlow isn't the ninth best among the nine best offensive linemen, I just would be very surprised if someone like Jamil Douglas or Tyson Brillo or Austin Pastore, of those groups of guys, would take his job. I just feel like if it's close enough that Harlow will win that job. So I'll be very focused on his performance, as well as some of those other second string guys. Speaking of Pastore, I am curious that we know that Tyson Brillo is going to be out tonight with an injury, whether or not Pastore, Brunskill, or Matt Gano will sort of take advantage of his absence and really, you know, push maybe him out the door a little bit. So I'll be curious to see how that happens. On the other side of the ball, on the defensive line, I'm expecting a relatively quick hook for the starters. I'm also curious to see who's going to get the start in the nickel package beside Tack, Vic, and Grady Jarrett. Who's going to be that fourth guy? Who's going to be that interior guy? Whether it's going to be Jack Crawford, whether it's going to be Terrell McClain. For most of the offseason, we've assumed it was going to be Jack Crawford, but based off of the depth chart and based off of at least, you know, trying to take one soundbite from Dan Quinn out of context, as is often going to be the case with myself and others, it might be Terrell McClain. So that'll be something I'm eager to see what happens. If we see both those guys get work in the nickel, or if we see one of those guys get work in the nickel, and if that's McClain, then where does that leave Crawford? If he's working in the base, is he a D tackle, is it as a D end? We'll see. I'm also of course, curious to see what Deidre Sinnott and some of the other interior defensive linemen sort of competing for back-end spots like Garrison Smith and Justin Zimmer and John Cunningham as well. So I'm eager to see some of those guys. At the linebacker position, you know, obviously curious to see which backups emerge. You know, Foye Olakun is another guy that's been getting a lot of hype lately. I want to see if he lives up to that. Who else emerges? Do we see JT Jones, Anthony Wimbush get reps at Sam linebacker rather than defensive end and when the team is in their base defenses in the second, third, and fourth quarters of these games? Obviously want to see what growth, if any, Duke Riley shows in this first action. You know, I expect he'll get extended reps beyond what Deion Jones and Devondre Campbell, who probably will be pulled after a series, maybe two, early in this game. But we should continue to see Duke Riley play well into the second quarter, if not later into the game. So that's one thing I'm eager to see. We got more positional battles and positional outlooks. We got more positions to cover, including the defensive backs and special teams. But I suggest you guys go check out thedraftnetwork.com, a site that just launched, a site that includes hosts of the Locked On NFL Draft podcast, John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema, as contributors. If you guys are as invested as many of us out there in the draft and want to get a head start on the 2019 draft, as well as get some insights into this upcoming college football season, then go to thedraftnetwork.com, your team every day. All right, so let's talk about the cornerbacks and safeties. At the cornerback position, obviously Isaiah Oliver, similar to Calvin Ridley, is going to be the key focus and sort of seeing how what he does in his debut with the Falcons. I'm also sort of curious to see what Deontay Burton does, if he's going to be another C.J. Goodwin after making that transition from wide receiver to cornerback and, you know, spending last year on the practice squad, and we haven't really seen him play cornerback. And so we'll get an opportunity tonight, presumably. And I'm also sort of somewhat curious about Leon McFadden, just because, you know, he was on the team last year. We didn't really get to see him play. He was inactive for every game. So this is really the first opportunity we get to see Leon McFadden play in a Falcons uniform. And honestly, since I didn't go back and watch his play in Dallas or Cleveland the last couple of years, this is honestly going to be like the first time I get to see Leon McFadden play really ever. So that's curious to me, just because, you know, I love filling the Rolodex with players that I will soon forget, you know, 6 months from now. But anyway, let's talk about the safety position. Obviously, DeMonte Casey is going to be the big draw here, seeing what growth, if any, he shows in year two. Ron Parker is going to be a player that I'm curious to see him in a Falcons uniform. He was a player I liked in Kansas City. I'm curious to see how he's going to be used here. The initial expectation was that he'll be the backup strong safety behind Ken O'Neill, but then there were reports in training camp that he's been working primarily as a free safety. So I'll be curious to sort of see how the Falcons work with that. And again, you know, something we talked about last year and during the offseason is that when the Falcons were forced to plug DeMonte Casey onto the field early on last year, he seemed a little bit more comfortable playing closer to the line of scrimmage than he did playing that single high safety. So the possibility, I guess, exists out there that, you know, Casey might be the backup strong safety and Parker might be the backup free safety. So I'll be curious to see if that is something that we witness in tonight's action. And, you know, we know Parker can play a number of positions. It'll be interesting to see if Casey can also prove that he has that same type of versatility moving forward. And then, of course, the other safeties on the back end of the roster, headlined by my guy Tyson Graham, who I'm eager and curious to see if he can sort of emerge and show, you know, jump out of this group, or if somebody else jumps out of this group. On special teams, that's going to be a big position to focus on. We should see a lot of David Marvin, both as a kicker, potentially as a punter, should the opportunities arise late in the game once Bosher gets, you know, whatever amount of work that Bosher needs. You know, I'm expecting him to body slam at least one kick returner in this game. We'll see if he can get up to two. obviously the return game for the Falcons is going to be something that I'm eager to watch. As I noted on a previous episode, we talked about how J.D. McKissic really jumped out in his first preseason game two summers ago when against the Redskins or the Dolphins, whoever it was. He basically took a kick 101 yards back to the house in that first preseason game. And suddenly, you know, made that battle that you seem to be basically penciling or at least writing in ink with Devin Fuller winning that kick return job became a little bit more interesting. So I'll be curious if anybody in this return battle, all 27 players the Falcons have back there, will sort of make a name for themselves and really push the needle going forward. I'll also be very invested in who's going to be the personal protector on punts now that Teron Ward's gone, now that Eric Weems is gone. That's a pretty wide open position. Is it going to be Ito Smith? Is it going to be somebody else? So that's going to be something I'm going to keep my eye on when I'm watching the team punt in this game. And I think, you know, special teams, it should be worth noting that special teams is a unit that very few people normally pay attention to in these preseason games, really in the regular season as well. But it plays a huge part, particularly in the preseason, in who makes the roster and who doesn't, and as well as the practice squad. So I'm definitely going to be keyed in on which guys are getting downfield first when they're covering kicks and punts, who's making tackles, who's missing tackles, who's making blocks, who's missing blocks. We saw last year with some guy, you know, did we have a punt blocked? I can't remember, but we got pretty close to having a punt blocked. And a lot of that had to do with guys not being able to make blocks. I'm looking at you, DeMonte Casey, among others. There's a couple of guys. I don't want to single him out, but it's burned into my brain that he was one of those culprits just because he's the rookie and there was some, you know, some other guy that didn't make the team that was the other culprit. You know, special teams is notoriously bad in the preseason. So that not only gives opportunities for guys to emerge if they're good, but also it gives opportunities for the other team to emerge and thus make your guys look bad. So that's going to be an interesting thing to watch. You know, as for the Jets, I touched upon this on an earlier episode as well. I am very curious to see how Sam Darnold plays. For those of you that listened to that episode we did with, or those two episodes we did with Mark Schofield back at the end of April in the week leading up to the draft, when we talked about this quarterback class, I was a little bit bullish on Sam Darnold. I'm very impressed with his potential, and to see him, you know, be the third quarterback taken in this draft, I thought was very interesting. So I'll be definitely, was he the third quarterback? Baker went one. No, he was the second. I'm sorry. I forgot Saquon went number two. I'm sorry. I was like, wait, that doesn't make any sense. Who went ahead of him? No, he was the second quarterback taking third overall pick. But I'm eager to see his performance in his NFL debut. If we get some of what we saw with Mitch Trubisky last year, if we get some of what we saw with Kaiser last year, both of those guys were impressive in their debuts. I can't remember if Mahomes was a little up and down, if I recall correctly. But I do remember going back and watching all those guys, their first action, at least the highlights on NFL.com. So I'm eager about that. You guys know, if you were a regular listener of the show and follow me on Twitter, I was a big fan of Nate Shepard. I was on the Shepard bandwagon very early on. Other people tried to climb aboard. Late in the draft process, I had to kick those guys to the curb. So I'm eager to see if he can, you know, wreak havoc on our second string offensive line. Obviously, I want our second string offensive line to perform as well as possible, but I'm not going to sit here and lie to you that I'm not going to take great pleasure in if Shepard does do pretty well against those guys. You also got Foley Fatakasi, another guy that was an intriguing option for the Falcons. I thought if they had, you know, waited until round 3-4 as they did to take a defensive tackle. So he's another guy that I'm eager to see with the Jets. Other than that, not a whole lot of exciting stuff with the Jets, at least from my perspective, at least guys I'm eager to watch. But there's always a couple of guys that sort of stand out, particularly in those third and fourth quarters. I still have, you know, my preseason all-star roster in my head of guys that shined, that popped and flashed against Falcons in previous summers, preseason games. I remember Joby St. Flour, the pass rusher. Toby Johnson was another guy to D-tackle. These are always guys that when their names flash across the waiver wire, I'm always like, the Falcons should pick up that guy because I remember him destroying us for like four plays in this preseason game like 3 years ago. But I'm eager to see those sort of things jump out, and I'm curious what you guys think. We'll be back tomorrow with a rapid reaction, so definitely want to check that out on Saturday. We'll go deeper on Monday once I've had an opportunity to rewatch the game multiple times. I'll be posting a depth chart. Hopefully that should be posted at some point Saturday. I will not be able to get a lot of sleep because due to these late games and doing these rapid reactions. I'll probably be up to like 2 or 3 o'clock on Saturday morning posting that rapid reaction. Then I'll wake up at the butt crack of dawn on Saturday morning to rewatch the game and so I can post that depth chart. I'll put it up on a Google Doc and I'll link to it on Twitter at FalFans and Locked On Falcons. For those of you that are interested in the actual depth chart that the Falcons show, not that unofficial nonsense, no offense to AtlantaFalcons.com. They're just doing their job, but that unofficial depth chart is notoriously inaccurate. And it amazes me every year that people sit there and you know, look, I get like, I'm not throwing shade at the Falcoholic because you got to get content some way. And I understand when you're in the business of creating content, you take what you can get. But, you know, people that don't have that responsibility of creating content sort of being like, here's my reaction to here's my takeaways from the depth chart. And like I say that knowing that it's not like I haven't done it in the past too. I just, you know, I'm having my cake and I'm eating it too, I guess, where I'm saying like, it doesn't make any sense to do that. But at the same time, if you're in the business of creating content, you got to create content in some form or fashion. I just, when I do that, I always, you know, I at least try to preface it by saying like, this depth chart is wildly inaccurate, but if you want to take anything away from it, here are the three main takeaways or whatever. But anyway, I'm done rambling. And yeah, so we'll be back tomorrow with a rapid reaction about this game, getting our sort of the things that jumped out at us. Monday, we'll talk a little bit more in depth on some of the position battles or anything else that sort of comes up over the weekend that requires, you know, attention or whatever. The main thing is, you know, guys, hopefully you get some guys that stand out. Some guys won't, obviously. And you hope you can make it through this game healthy. So that's probably the most important thing. More important than, you know, I would like to see Ricky Ortiz or Luke McNitt take a firm handle on this fullback position. But I would also like, I would trade that easily to see this Falcon team come out of this game healthy. So that's it, guys. If you want to provide your feedback to me, you can do so on Twitter. I'm at FalcFans. You can check out Locked On Falcons. That's the show's Twitter handle. And you can email me at LockedOnFalcons@mail.com. Facebook is Locked On Falcons. Give us a like while you're there. And, of course, check out our daily content at LockedOnFalcons.com and FalcFans.com, where the podcast is posted daily. Until then.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.